passing these out. We'll go ahead and there should be enough for everybody. If not, you can easily share. One per family would be totally fine. And appreciate being here very much. You remember our Fellow Helpers Ministries motto is helping stay up the hands of the pastor and his family. So when you have a situation like pastor being away and you're asked to speak in his place, I really delight in that and thank Pastor Heffernan for doing that. While those sheets are being passed out, let me mention to you two or three things that I want to make sure to say tonight. And one of them is this: what a blessing to see how the Lord blessed your vacation Bible school. We were able to watch parts of it online and to watch the way the setting was and the way everybody was involved. And I think you had almost as many workers as you did campers, and Pastor really put his heart into it. And we're really grateful for that. You know, Mark, as well as the other Gospels, say, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." Mark 10:14. And I believe that a church that's sympathetic and reaches out to ministering the children is a church that gets rewarded in many different ways. The second thing I want to mention, just for your information, which I really thank the Lord for, is I have been able to start a podcast because I can't travel like I used to. And I was very surprised when we started this. A young man's helping us do it. And I was very surprised that there was not a podcast called From the Pastor's Study. And so we snatched it. So the podcast is called From the Pastor's Study. And the goal of the podcast is this, if I can read it to you, so make sure to get it straight. It says, biblical lessons from a battlefield of life from a retired pastor of 45 years who was saved after serving as a staff sergeant in November Ranger Company of the 75th Rangers in Vietnam. And we tried to put the military background in there, hopefully attracting some military people to listen to the podcast. But we'd appreciate your prayers for that. I'm delighted with it because I can't travel like I used to. And I'm tired of praying for Pastor Heffernan to get sick so I can fill in. And then occasionally Gordon ends up getting to do it. And also Pastor, the pastor up at Freedom and whatever. But so I've just needed a little bit of an outlet. And I do believe, if you listen to the first program, I kind of bare my heart there, that when the Lord lengthened my days after I had my incident in March, I wondered why. And this is one reason I believe why, to be able to take a lot of the things the Lord has taught me over 45 years and be able to just spread them out. So we're looking forward to that. First broadcast was actually posted on Tuesday. We had really good response. We're grateful. One other thing I'm going to share just in the way of introduction, and I'm not going to re-preach this. I preached it here a number of years ago, probably 5 years ago, actually. But take your Bibles and turn to Romans just for a moment. I believe you're familiar with the book of Romans, but I need to get this off my chest this evening. A lot of people are asking, what is happening today? Why is this happening today? What is going on? And you can read through this, and you can see it spelled out so clearly as to what we're dealing with today. I think the title to this could be, Spiritual Blindness Leads to Spiritual Bankruptcy. And we are living in a spiritually blind country. It's blind. It doesn't know. It doesn't see. And I think especially as we're going through this COVID incident, you'll notice there are some prayers and there's some talk of God, but not the emphasis it should be. The Lord's going to deliver us from this, not a scientist or not a medicine or something of that nature. That's all part of it. Don't get me wrong. You're looking at a fellow that's had heart surgery. I understand that. But again, we need our dependence on the Lord. And when you take a look at Romans chapter 1, of course, it talks about paying a debt, where the Apostle Paul says in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then when you read down through that chapter, you learn three or four things that are very important. Number one, men exercise ignorance when it comes to God. They hold down the truth. You see that in verses 18 through 20. They know the truth, but they hold down the truth. What does that lead to? That leads to idolatry, verses 21 through 23. What does that mean? Well, they change they start worshiping foolish things. They change the glory of God, of the uncorruptible God, into the image made like unto corruptible man. So when you are ignorant regarding God and you start putting idols in the place of God to fill that spiritual vacuum, what happens? Well, you end up with indulgence. You end up with actually the word immorality and indulgence. In other words, starting in verse 24, people just do what they want to do the way they want to do it. And if you'll notice, beginning of verse 24, and if you read this later, going down to verse 28, it's interesting because men say, I gave up on God. And the truth of the matter is, when you read verse 24 through 28, when man holds down the truth about God and replaces in his life idols for God, he will become immoral, he will become indulgent, and it's because, verse 24, God gave them up. They didn't give him up. He gave them up. And if you look a little further, it says it again, verse 26, for God gave them up, the vile affections. And when you take a look again, for God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So when you have ignorance and idolatry that results in immorality and indulgence, the result is insolvency. You can't survive. You're in debt. You can't pay it. You can't survive. And an insolvent nation or a spiritually blind nation is a spiritually bankrupt nation. And you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 29, all the way down through the end, and you've got like 23 different things listed out there that looks like you're looking at the evening news. That's what happens. So when you're thinking about this and you get into conversations with people about, I don't know why this is happening today. What's happening? Well, take a look at this chapter with them if they'll sit down with you and just read through it with them. Remember those I words and just kind of lead them along and show them the fact of the matter that they can listen to the preaching of the gospel, verse 15, that you are not ashamed to share, and they can receive the just shall live by faith. And then this does not apply. Isn't that wonderful? Because we're no longer ignorant. We're no longer worshiping idols. We're no longer immorality and indulgent. But now we are spiritually blessed instead of spiritually bankrupt. So just want to share that with you and give a little bit of a thought there. What we're going to look at tonight, though, is not something that Pastor Heffernan put me up to. So please don't think that way. I never thought I would be at the stage of my life where I'm the old guy and the young pastors are calling me for advice and prayer and things of that nature, but I'm the old guy. I had Pastor Ashbrook when I got in the ministry. I had Pastor Dale McAllister when I got in the ministry. I had a number of other different men, and I could call them and run things by them and ask them for prayer and ask for their wisdom, and I really appreciated that. Now, 45 years of ministry, I'm kind of in that position myself. And I want to share this tonight, not as a, oh, woe are the pastors, so please don't get that way. But I want to share this tonight because I developed in my own mind a couple of verses from Scripture that I've read before and I've actually touched on in preaching before, but I've never really sat down and thought about it. And to be honest with you, this doesn't happen very often. I can probably count on one hand the times it's happened. 5:30 this morning, it was rolling around so irrelevant in my mind that I had to get up and had to go in the other room and write down the outline for what we're going to look at tonight. Because the Lord was just laying it on my heart, and this is what the subject is. And you say, well, great, what a lead up, what is it? Well, you have your sheets. I hope you didn't read them already because then you want to leave, but I hope you'll stay. And you got your sheets outlined here before you. And we're going to take our Bibles to begin by turning to the book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at a verse in that chapter. And then we're going to take a look also at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul, as strong and mature as he was, and as successful he was as a minister, when he writes to the church that's waiting for the second coming of Christ, reiterates twice in clear words, chapter 5, verse 25, brethren, pray for us. The Apostle Paul asks for our prayers. And when you go to chapter 3, you'll notice his final thought there is chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us. And that's the subject we're going to look at tonight regarding pastors and their need for prayer. So let's go to the Lord and ask for his help tonight. Our Father, we've shared a lot already that's kind of sown seed in our hearts, and we thank you for that. We love hearing things that will challenge us to think further and to study harder and learn what your will is. And Father, as we open up this scripture tonight and take a look at these two passages of scripture talking about praying for those in spiritual leadership, We pray that thou would give us insight and warm our hearts to praying for our pastors. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. A number of years ago, when I spoke at the installation service here at Victory in regard to Pastor Heffernan, you remember I used 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. It's one of my favorite verses to speak at an installation service. It says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." And there's three things pointed out about a pastor there. Number one, I believe that being a pastor is hard work if he does it right, because it says labor among you. Number two, also being a pastor is heavy work, because you'll notice the words, and are over you. He is responsible for you. He bears the burden for you. Hebrews chapter 13 brings that out even more. And then thirdly, you'll notice it says, and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And admonish is the idea that it's hazardous work, because sometimes when someone admonishes you, you don't respond very well to that. And again, we oftentimes get along very well with the pastor, but when a pastor comes and tells us of a fault or something that's a concern to him, sometimes we can turn on him. And I don't think that's fair, because God has given us the pastor to do the hard work. He's given us the pastor to bear the burden of that work, and he's given that pastor to take the risk at times, because the wounds of a friend are more faithful than the kisses of an enemy, and admonish us at times too. Now, lest the pastor get real discouraged, and Brother Gordon, you know this, the next verse says, "Esteem them," verse 13, "very highly in love for their work's sake." So it's also a very honorable work. Now, we want to keep that in mind. But I want to share that with you in a recap of, 5 years ago now, 4.5 years ago? And I want to share that with you in a recap, because I believe this with all my heart. When you take a look at the introduction of the notes that I've just given you, I've written these words. After that description, I've said, the ministry of a pastor during COVID-19 has become increasingly difficult, and especially with young pastors, they need our prayers. The work of the pastor under COVID-19 has become especially difficult, especially for the young pastors, and they really need our prayers. You'll notice here that I made a reference to Psalm chapter 78 and verses 70 through 72, and I think this is a great description of a pastor. I know it's being referred to back here in the Old Testament as King and King David. But I'd like for you to see the parallel between the king leading a nation and the pastor leading a flock. And here's what we read in Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. "And he chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob and his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." So we see, number one, in verse 70, the Lord chose David, and the Lord chose your pastor too. Now, I'm not just talking to you. I know this is going online, and I'm not just thinking about Pastor Heffernan. I'm thinking about pastors in general. And every pastor that's in a pulpit, if he's followed the will of God to be there, is there because the Lord chose him to do so. And the purpose of that is verse 71, to feed Jacob and his people. That's what the pastor has the responsibility of doing, feeding the flock of God and caring for them. And then you'll notice he needs to feed them according to, he needs integrity of his heart. His heart needs to be right, and also guide them with the skillfulness of his hands. He needs the skill that only God can give in shepherding the flock. So when I see those three verses and I think about pastors today, I go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 25, chapter 3, verse 1, where Paul says, "Brethren, pray for us." And thinking about the day we're living in, I think there are 7 things we can briefly cover here. And I didn't put scriptures with all of these, but you could. I didn't want us to be having Bible drill tonight. I just want us to get the message because it's prayer meeting night. But let us think for a little bit about pastors, not just Pastor Heffernan, but let's think tonight about pastors in general ministering under this cloud of COVID. Number one, we note this. We need to pray for them because they may be feeling isolated. The word isolated means far away from other places or people, remote. They may feel isolated. One of my greatest joys in pastoring over the years was going to visit people in their homes, visit people in the hospital. I really enjoyed that. Not that they were in the hospital, but it gave me opportunity to meet their family, and a lot of them were unsaved, and be able to witness to them. Opportunity to go into nursing homes and minister to them. Opportunity to just have the freedom to go knocking on doors and talk to people and witness to them. And what I noted as a pastor was, when I went out and did that, it kind of fueled my fire for coming back and studying the Word of God and preparing messages and meeting the needs of people in the day we're ministering in. Now, when you think about that, for 6 months now, I'm not saying this 100%, because again, even like you here, you started meeting before other churches have. Some still haven't even started meeting yet. And the pastors for a long period of time were simply just isolated. They had to stay in their home. And even now, they're still isolated. I can't even comprehend being a pastor and not being able to visit somebody in the hospital, let alone somebody in the hospital is dying. You talk about a feeling of isolation. You talk about a feeling of helplessness. And that's what our pastors have been going through under this COVID-19. And I really believe that wears on them after time. And we need to pray for them that even though they can't get out and be among the people and recharge those batteries, that we can help recharge their batteries through our prayers. They may be feeling isolated. The second thing I think that's important is this, and you'll probably ring true on this one, they may be feeling inferior. Now, the word inferior is defined for you here, and that means lower in rank, status, or quality. Inferior, lower in rank, status, or quality. Think about that if you would. A pastor in a normal local church like you have here at Victory does not have a staff except for volunteer people who are so faithful. But he doesn't have a staff to meet with. He doesn't have a staff to do things with. And so he prepares his message, oftentimes in a normal setting, 3-4 times a week. He's freshly preparing the Word of God to present to his people. And even now, during COVID, they're online. I enjoy watching Pastor Heffernan as well as a number of other pastors online as their messages are being proclaimed through this COVID situation. In fact, I think I'm getting more preaching now than ever because I'm sitting home on a Sunday and maybe listening to 4 or 5 messages by the time the day's over. And if I want to during the week, I'll pull somebody up and watch them during the week too. Often my wife and I will sit at breakfast and watch somebody. But you know what's interesting? Some of the preachers that we really do enjoy, and I won't go through some names, are preachers that have amazing staffs. They have incredible production facilities. They even have some of the best-known pastors in our country today. They have research teams that help them research the material that they're going to be preaching on, so they sift through a lot. I sat in my study for years with my Matthew Henry and my Wordsby, and that was about it. We didn't have interline access back then. My pulpit commentaries, too, I would go through those, and that was about it. But you recognize that, and think about that with me. Here's a pastor that's banging it out, preaching as faithfully as he can with the tools and the ability that he has, and then we're sitting at home watching these incredible pastors with 6,000 people in their church and 5,000 people in their church and 9 campuses all over their area and whatever. And believe me, that can cause a pastor to sit back and say, wow, I don't measure up to that. I am, what's our second point? Inferior. And we have to help pray that the Lord would guard our pastors, especially our young pastors, that they would not feel inferior. You'll notice also number 3, there's a third thing I think we need to remember in praying for our pastors. They may be feeling insignificant. Now, the word insignificant by definition is too small or unimportant. You know, without that face-to-face feedback, you don't know if you're meeting the needs of the flock or not. Now, I'm going to be honest and give you a good illustration here. I produced my first podcast on Monday in my study alone with a microphone in front of me. Even my wife and Andrew bailed out. They went upstairs and left me alone. And as I'm speaking, I speak different. I've got to get used to that. I mean, the microphone didn't smile one time. It never nodded its head, yes, and it never said amen. And I wasn't sure if I was hitting it on target or not. I kept wanting to stop and start over again. I couldn't do that, of course. You know, there's something about preach. Like now here, Wednesday, I'm speaking to you, and I'm watching you. So far, no one's fallen asleep yet, praise the Lord. And I'm seeing smiles, I'm seeing nods. I'll make a point and say, yep, I see that, whatever. That feeds a pastor and encourages a pastor. But under COVID, they've not had that opportunity, and many of them can feel insignificant. So we've got to fill gaps like that. What I do personally, and I'm not bragging, it's just something I got a burden to do, and my wife does this also, we'll text. We'll hear a message and we'll text. A number of times I've done that. Pastor Heffernan, I sure enjoyed your service this morning. That was a great passage of scripture. You did a good job. And I've not yet had one of them answer back, a number of the young men I do that to, not one of them back and say, would you just mind your own business, Pastor? You know, I mean, really, I'm just insignificant. I'm a nobody. And why are you even listening to me? Why don't you turn on so-and-so? Never have they said that. They've always been encouraged by that feedback, and they need our feedback that way. You'll notice number four, I think this is important also for praying for our pastors. They may be feeling insecure. The word insecure means not firmly fixed or uncertain. And folks, you may think I'm exaggerating here, and I sure hope I am. I mean that with all my heart. But they may be wondering, what is the future of their ministry? I know they're wondering this. Will the people come back? They're wondering, what about the decision I make? Meet, not meet. Sunday school, no Sunday school. Mask, no mask. Who am I going to offend? And how is this going to divide our congregation? Every decision that these pastors have to make today makes someone happy and makes someone sad. And they have to pray and just do what the Lord wants them to do. But I'll tell you what, that can make them feel pretty insecure too, because they're not sure if they're making the right decision. There was no class in Bible school that taught how to function with the church under COVID-19. It wasn't there. And there's no manual for that. And there's no one person that has developed a perfect plan for that. And even if you develop that plan, when you wake up tomorrow, things will change. You'll have to change that plan. And that can just cause an insecurity there from the man of God that's trying to faithfully shepherd the flock, as we saw in Psalm 78. So we've got, they may feel isolated, they may feel inferior, they may feel insignificant, they may feel insecure, not knowing what's going on, and this may lead them actually to feeling irritation, which could lead even to indignation. Now, you'll notice I put irritation in capital letters and then followed that off with the idea of indignation. But when you look at the definition of those two words, it's this. Irritation is a state of feeling annoyed, and indignation is anger or annoyance provoked. So, you know, you can sense that. The young men can begin to be irritated. You know, I want to go visit somebody. I thought about this, and I don't know. I'm older now, and my health isn't the greatest, so I take things in stride that I never would have taken in stride before. But I can't imagine going to the hospital and having a flock, someone from my flock, inside dying, and having a guard stand at the door and say, you can't come in here. That is tough. And I would be very, what's our point? I would be very irritated with that. Irate is another good word. Thank you. I'll have to keep that one in mind. I'd be very irritated and irate. And if I'm not careful, it could lead me to what? Indignation. But as 1 Timothy tells us in chapter 5, the servant of the Lord must be what? Must be patient. And it's hard at times to be patient. It's hard to know what God wants you to do and not be able to actually do it. It's hard for you to look out for the care of the sheep, but watch the sheep being harmed because of different things that are taking place. And I did put in the notes tonight, how long will this last? Are some of the questions they may ask, which brings irritation. How many times will I get my hopes up only to have them dashed by the next CDC report or the next governor's decision? So there can be, in our pastors, an irritation that could lead to an indignation, and we need to be praying for them. Also, I think number five, we need to keep this in mind, they may be feeling indolent. Indolent. Now, what does that mean? Well, the definition is there. It means wanting to avoid activity or exertion, or just plain become what, folks? Lazy. Just plain become lazy. I don't think you have a pastor like that. I've been keeping contact with Pastor Heffernan. He's been keeping contact with me. A number of these other young men I've been keeping contact with. But I do believe that there are some pastors that are just going to start getting lazy. They were really weak when it came to door knocking in the first place. They only visited the hospital if somebody pressed them to do it. They didn't really reach out evangelistically very much, so they were already right there. And now this is just giving them a blank check that they can just sit back and just take it easy and start preaching mediocre messages, because after all, you can hear better stuff from somebody else online. Now, again, I'm not saying that that's happening. I'm saying that could happen, and that's why we need to pray to protect these pastors' hearts in ministry. Also, I believe one other thing that I can cover, I had to have seven. I thought that would round it out well, at least biblically round it out, not mathematically. But I believe number seven is important, and that is they may feel inventive and hopefully invigorated. And that's what we look for. We want to see the pastors be able to be inventive. That means the ability to create or invigorate and design new things or to think originally, to just kind of, to just not... what do I want to say? Not put down the rod of authority as a pastor, but to recognize, okay, these are new challenges, but I have a flock to tend to, and I'm going to do that. Why? Because of Psalm 78, where it says clearly, God chose David, and God chose our pastors. And then also to feed Jacob and the people, and God chose our pastors to feed the flock. And so he needs to maintain, feed them according to thine integrity of thy heart, and guide them by the skillfulness of his hands. And we need to pray that the Lord protects these pastors' hearts, and the Lord guards the skillfulness of their hands and their decision making as they lead us through this time of COVID-19. I put a conclusion on our notes tonight, and again, this is a total different message to me. Normally, I'm in one passage, and we move through it, and you can mark it and go, but that's why I printed this paper up for you, so you can kind of use it as a reminder. But I think our conclusion tonight is this. Our pastors need us to pray for them that the Lord might inspire, that means create a feeling, especially a positive one in a person, and also they need our prayers that the Lord may invigorate, that means give strength or energy to, them during this time, especially so they did not lose the enthusiasm for ministry. I'm going to read that without the definitions one more time. Conclusion, our pastors need us to pray for them that the Lord might inspire and the Lord might invigorate them during this especially time so they did not lose their enthusiasm for ministry. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, in essence, that's exactly what he was saying. Brethren, pray for us. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Let us not succumb to these things that could cause us to collapse, but instead, let's be inspired and invigorated by the things of the Lord. Now, before I let you go, one more thought. You'll notice the last part, and I put it in bold type. Wait. Isn't this how we all feel to some degree? Yes, we all need prayer. We all feel isolated at times and inferior at times and insignificant at times and insecure at times and irrational. I mean, irrational at times too. That's another one. I think I just developed 8 points. Okay. Irritated at times and indolent at times and inventive at times. But you want to know something? We all need prayer. Remember Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18? Would you read it with me? It'll sound so good to read it responsibly or together. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. So the Apostle Paul says, brethren, pray for us. But let's not forget, this really applies also to all the saints. But as I have had time and recently got on Facebook, one of the entertainments that attracted me so much are these domino fall games. 30,000 dominoes. I don't know who's crazy enough to buy 30,000, let alone line 30,000 up. And you hit one, and they all fall. Well, I don't know about dominoes, because I've never done that, and I don't have the patience to even try to set a record. But I have seen over 45 years of ministry, time and time again, when the adversary has knocked over the pastor and the church has fallen. So we need to take Paul's heed by inspiration of the Holy Spirit seriously. Brethren, pray for us. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing to be able to pray for men of God who are filling the pulpits today, holding forth the word in an adversarial day, seeking to bring people to Christ, seeking to tend the sheep, seeking, Father, to see your word upheld. And we just pray, Father, for these men, that you would give them continual grace and skill of their hands, be able to give them integrity of their heart, that they might be continued to minister for thy name's sake. Lord, we know that they need that and will profit by it, but we also know the ultimate profit will be ours. In Jesus' name, amen.